We're going to continue this morning in our Relentless series, and the heart of this series is to encourage us as the people of God to be encouraged and strengthened to be a victorious people. But to be a victorious people, to understand that we're going to have to be at certain points in our lives a persevering people. And the Lord put 5 D's on my heart to just bring messages that would encourage us how to navigate and endure and make it through certain seasons in our life. Seasons of discouragement, disappointment, doubt, delay, or defeat. And come on, you know the drill if you've been here the last few weeks, but humor me and participate this morning for those maybe who are joining us today for the first time. It's something that we've all felt at some point or another. So if you in your faith journey, you're seeking after and living for God, if at any point in your faith journey you've experienced disappointment, I want you to just lift your hand and keep it lifted. If at any point you've experienced discouragement, come on, lift your hand and just keep it lifted. If at any point you've experienced delay, you thought God was going to show up and do something in a certain time and it just didn't happen, come on, lift your hand and keep it lifted. If because of that delay or disappointment or discouragement, you've experienced doubt, Lord, are you really who you say, or are you really going to do what your word says that you'll do? Come on, lift your hand and just keep it lifted. If you've ever experienced something that might could have been viewed as a defeat, you just knew it was going to work and it didn't work, come on, lift your hand and keep it lifted. And now, precious people of God, come on, just look around the room. Keep your hands up and look around the room. Come on, just look to your left, look to your right, before you and behind you. Almost every hand's lifted in the room. Come on, you're not alone. You're not alone. We all, at certain points, as we're living for God and chasing after God and pursuing God, will run into some circumstances or situations that cause us to experience discouragement, disappointment, doubt, delay, or sometimes even defeat. But here's the good news today, that those seasons that we experience cannot cut off or keep us from entering into the promises of God if we will persevere and we will endure and live by faith and not by sight. Come on, somebody say amen. But to do that, we've got to be a persevering people. We've got to endure through some of those things. We've got to build a faith that's strong, that endures those seasons, that allows us to go beyond those seasons. And listen, people of God, God's word shows us plainly how important it is. Romans 2:7 says, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give to those eternal life. The New Living Translation of the same scripture says, he will give eternal life to those who keep on doing good. Come on, we've done it before. Let's do it again. Look at your neighbor and say, keep on keeping on. Hebrews 12, verse 1 through 4 says that we're surrounded by a crowd of witnesses to a life of faith, and it encourages us. Let us strip aside the things that hold us back and hinder us, especially the sin that so easily weighs us down. And what does it tell us to do then? Let us run the race with endurance. This race that God has set before us. And how do we do this? It gives us the key. It says we do this by keeping our eyes upon Jesus. We do this by keeping our eyes upon Jesus. And that translation says the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Another translation says the author and the perfecter of the faith story that God's writing in your life. We do this. We run this race by endurance, by keeping our eyes on Jesus. Hebrews 10:36 says it even more plainly. It says you need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And again, people of God, this is not about striving for our salvation. That's the free gift of God that comes by faith through grace. Amen. But it is about setting our hearts in a determined way, in a focused way, upon that we might relentlessly pursue and chase after the presence of God, the promises of God, that we might relentlessly chase after to live out the purposes of God for your life, for my life, even in the midst of challenges. Running to win, running with endurance, understanding that to get to the finish line, sometimes we're going to have to endure. Because sometimes God shows up and moves quickly, amen? Sometimes he shows up and just does something. And come on, that's how we would prefer it, right? That's how we would prefer it, fast. But listen, I've learned that in this fast food, microwave culture, we oftentimes serve a crockpot kind of God. And we want to put it in and we want it fast, you know. Come on, Fernando, this isn't Burger King where you get it your way. We want it fast. But oftentimes God has a process. There's something he's doing. Come on, you see it. It's not just you. You see it all throughout the word of God. Abraham and Sarah, Moses and David, Joseph, Joseph, called to greatness, called to be a world changer. But the process to get to the palace to which he was called took him through the pit and the prison. In Genesis 50:20, it's actually the words of Joseph. This concept of what the enemy intends for evil, God will use it for his good, came from the mouth of Joseph. When he said to his brothers who had sold him into slavery, into the pit, that led to the prison, and he said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good." Come on, say all. He intended everything for my good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people. Come on, in Joseph's life, what seemed like it might would prevent the promise actually had a purpose. He said, "What you intended for evil, come on, God worked it out for my good." He took the things that you intended to prevent the promise of God to my life, and he actually used it to prepare me for the position that God had called me to. Come on, the process has a purpose. Come on, say it this morning. The process has a purpose. Say it again. The process has a purpose. Listen, God cares tremendously about your life. As passionate as I am as your pastor for you to experience the purposes of God, the promised land that he has for you in every area of your life, it pales in comparison to how much God cares about it. He cares about your life, your marriage, or your future marriage. Your family, your ministry, or your future ministry, the purpose that God's called you to. In the church and in the community and in the workplace, come on, you were created by God on purpose for a purpose. God cares tremendously about it. He has a plan for you. He's called you. But God cares more, as much as he cares about that calling, God cares more about our character. God cares more about your character than he does our calling. He cares more about the process than the position. Because hear this, if we get to the calling without the character, if we get to the position without the process, what was intended to be a blessing can actually be a burden. What was intended to bring healing to ourselves and to others can actually bring harm. And the Bible says, speaks of a blessing that prospers us in such a way that comes with no sorrow, no pain, Proverbs 10:22. But how many know you do it the world's way and you can gain the whole world and lose your soul? You can gain the pinnacle. You can be at the pinnacle of success and have lost your health, your marriage, your family, your relationship with your Heavenly Father. So God cares more about the character that he's building into you than he does about your ultimate calling. He cares more about the process that he's leading you through than he does about the purpose for which he's called you to. In seasons of delay and doubt and disappointment, come on, people of God. You need to hear and you need to know and you need to grab onto it. And it's why I'm recapping this every week. So that you don't just hear a good message, hopefully a good message, but you grab onto this and you hang on to this, because maybe today everything seems pretty good for you, but I'm just telling you, there's a day coming when you're going to run into something, the storms of life, a trial of life, a tribulation that Jesus never promised we wouldn't have. The only thing he promised us is that when we got there, he would be with us, and he's overcome it. He's preparing you for the promise. Come on, we tend to say and pray, "God, promote me." But perhaps the better prayer is, "God, prepare me." Because First Peter 5, verse 6 says, "Humble yourselves before God under his mighty hand." That in due time, in the right season, in just the right time, not a moment too late, he may lift you up. The process has a purpose. Come on, people of God, look at your neighbor and say, "The process has a purpose." So we've talked a lot in this series about navigating and understanding and even embracing the delay of God, that sometimes it's divine delay. It's because what he sees is better than what we see. It's because what he has in his heart, what he sees and has in his mind is bigger, it's better, it's, come on, more than we could ask, think, or imagine, God's word says. And we've talked a lot about navigating those things. We've talked about bouncing back from a defeat. But today I want to talk to you about winning the battle over discouragement. That as you walk with God through this process towards the promise, that to get there, you are going to have to, hear me, people of God, you're going to have to learn how to win the battle over disappointment and discouragement. Listen, discouragement is more than just negative emotions on a bad day. Discouragement is a scheme from the enemy to try to take you out. And are you there in Numbers chapter 21? And before we begin to read in verse 4, would you allow me to just pray over this time and pray over God's word and invite the presence of God to come and speak to us and minister to us and strengthen us and heal us? Lord, that's our prayer this morning. We're gathered in this place as your people in your presence to worship you, Lord. And we're grateful for your word that reveals your heart towards us, God, that you're with us and you're for us, even in the midst of the seasons of difficulty, even in the midst of adversity, Lord, even in those moments where we really do bump up against discouragement and disappointment and doubt and delay, and even in those times where we look up and it looks like defeat, you are there with us and for us in the middle of it all. And so, Lord, we say this morning, would you come and would you strengthen us as your people to be a persevering people, to run the race with endurance, that we might get to the promise, that we might finish our race that you've called us to in a way that you might say, well done, good and faithful servant. And come on, all God's precious people said, amen, amen. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. The people of God have been delivered from Egypt, and they're making their way to the promised land. And picking up in verse 4, it says, then they journeyed from Mount Or by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged along the way. Not just discouraged, very discouraged along the way. And the people spoke against God. And they spoke against Moses, and they said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, and there is no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. And therefore, the people came to Moses, and they said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord. And against you. Would you pray to the Lord that he would take the serpents away from us? And so Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall be that everyone who is bitten when he looks at it shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and he put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Listen, the people of God had been delivered from slavery. And God had done amazing things to deliver them, miraculous things. And I just feel like maybe we ought to refrain from judging the people of Israel, because maybe sometimes we find ourselves in the same type of a situation. God's done amazing things, miraculous things, but along the way, somehow, some way, we begin to forget what he's done and we begin to focus on our trial. And our tribulation and our adversity. And we begin to grumble and complain against God. And the very thing that God's doing, leading us out of somewhere, we begin to speak against it. We begin to say, God, when are you going to show up? And we begin to say, God, why'd you bring us here only to die? Why'd the people do it? It said, because along the way, they became very discouraged. And listen, it's a hard passage to read, but there's something that we can gather from it spiritually. There's something that we can glean from it to avoid falling into that situation where we become spiritually dead, where something that God's called us to is cut off, where something enters in and bites and poisons something that God's trying to lead us to in a way that something that's intended to be life becomes death. And you got to understand something this morning. Discouragement is more than just an emotional reaction to a bad day. Discouragement is an attempt from the enemy to try to keep you from walking into your destiny. And you just got to think about it. Just the very word, come on, we just kind of associate it. We kind of say it lightly, like I'm disappointed or I'm discouraged. But when you look at these words and you really think about what we're saying, disappoint. Discourage. And the word appoint means to assign or call to a specific or certain role, position, or function. And the word courage means, from Merriam-Webster, the mental or moral strength to venture, to persevere, to withstand danger, fear, or difficulty. And the word dis, when you put the word dis, the little prefix before the word appoint and the word courage, the word dis means, if you look it up, it means to remove, to negate, or to reverse. So when you're discouraged, it's a scheme from the enemy to remove, negate, or reverse the mental or moral strength that you are going to need to venture, persevere in the midst of danger, fear, or difficulty. When you become disappointed, it's not just an emotion that you feel on a bad day. It's a scheme of the enemy to come and remove you or negate you from a position, a role, or a function that God has called you to. Come on, discouragement can be deadly. How many of you know that discouragement, today's discouragement, if unresolved, becomes tomorrow's depression, which becomes the following week's despair? And I'm just telling you, as the people of God, I believe that there's a pattern and there's some things that we can prioritize to begin to win the battle over disappointment and discouragement. And to begin to cut off that scheme of the enemy that wants to come and negate or reverse or separate you from a place that God's called you to and a thing that God is calling you to. We got to learn how to win this. And come on, there's four priorities, and they just all happen to start with the letter P. Come on, that's of the Lord. You guys know how I love my alliterations. I know it's from God when it all starts with the same letter. And come on, I wish this was easy, but there's no real quick fix. This takes determination. And these four things that we're about to unpack, they are priorities. And I believe they're priorities that God has called you to. And they're the very things that discouragement and doubt and disappointment and delay and defeat are trying to keep you from. And I think it's so powerful how the serpents came in, you know, the serpents. The people were grumbling. They were complaining. They were very discouraged. And the serpents entered in, and the serpents bit the people, and the people began to die. And they came, and they said, pray that the Lord would take this away. And I think it's powerful what the Lord did. He took the very thing that was attacking and killing the people of God. And he said, Moses, I'm going to take the very thing that's attacking and destroying the people of God, and I'm going to call you to work with it in my presence and to hold it up. And when the people look at it in a different way, from a different perspective, with their heart changed, what was intended to kill them is actually going to bring them to life. He said, take a serpent. He said, take a serpent, make it out of bronze, put it on a pole, and lift it up where the people start to look up. There's something slithering on the ground that's trying to bite you on the ankle and keep you from moving forward in God's purpose. And he said, take it and put it on a pole and lift it up and have the people of God begin to look up to something that I fashioned in their life instead of something that the enemy is slithering into their life that will kill them from and keep them from entering into the promise of God. He said, lift it up, fashion it, and lift it up. He took the very thing. And he fashioned it, and he lifted it up into God's presence. And I believe that these four things that I'm about to preach to you about are things that God, that the enemy rather, wants to discourage you from pursuing because of their power, potential, and purpose in your life as a believer, as a man of God, as a woman of God, as a young person of God. But that the way to overcome discouragement is to actually begin to focus, to lift up these four things in your life. And come on, it ain't always easy. But how many of you know that the Bible says that the things that seem impossible with man, they are possible with who? With God. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, it ain't always going to be easy. Come on, that's the way we say it in Texas. But it's possible with God. Four things. God's presence. Come on, you ought to write these down if you're taking notes. God's presence, God's promises, God's people, and God's purpose for your life. That every scheme of discouragement and disappointment is intended to cut you off from those four things. Come on, there's probably some other, but I think if you focus on these four, you might find yourself doing all right. God's presence, God's promises, his word, God's people, the family, the fellowship, the community that you're called to, and God's purpose, the thing that he created you for. That the enemy is coming to try to bring discouragement and doubt and disappointment to keep you from pursuing and walking into. God's promises. Come on, right from the start, the scheme of the enemy was to come to Adam and Eve and say, did God really say? And you know, I think it's fascinating that there's some things that we desperately need as humans to survive. Food, water, air, and light. And the Word of God describes the Word of God as those very four things. Food, the bread of life. Water, living water. Light, the light to our path and to our feet. And breath. Did you know that 2 Timothy 3:6 says that all scripture is God-breathed, God-inspired, and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. All those things are what we find in God's word. Those things that physically we can so easily relate to. We can only go a little bit of time without water. We can only go a little bit of time without food. We can go even a lesser time without oxygen, without breathing in. Those are the things that God describes his word as. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's God breathed. And the word there in the Greek is theanoustos. And the word for noustos there, the root word is pneuma. And you're probably already thinking about some of the words that we get from that. Pneumonia is an attack on your ability to breathe. And pneumatic is like, you know, a pneumatic tool uses air to power something. It's God breathed. And every day, come on, when you feel discouraged and disappointed, how many of you just feel like you're just out of breath? You're just out of breath. You just feel like you just can't breathe. You can't get up. You can't get going. And I'm just telling you, it might not come easy, but if you could just find the, if you could will yourself, if you could just find the grace and find the strength to open up God's word and begin to once again breathe in what God has to say about you and your situation, your lungs will begin to fill up once again. And it may happen quickly or it might take a while, but eventually you begin to breathe in what God has to say about you and you begin to see, I'm overcoming that scheme of disappointment and discouragement. God's promises. Come on, in a culture where we have an abundance of opinions. Come on, there's an abundance of opinions. There's an abundance of thoughts about how to do life, how to do marriage, how to raise kids, how to do sexuality, how to do money. And I'm just telling you, we have an abundance of opinions, but there's a deficit of wisdom. But in God's word, there's an answer for every one of those situations, every one of those areas of life, how to do every one of those things and anything else that falls in between. And so when you get discouraged, when you get disappointed, when you don't know where to turn or where to go, can I just encourage you? Come on, go to God's word and find out what his word says, his promises for your life. Amen. Come on. If you're going to clap, clap for Jesus, and he deserves it better than that. God's people, Hebrews 10:25 says, do not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. I think it's fascinating that so early in the life of the New Testament church, people were already church hopping. People were already like not coming to church, you know. I mean, that's what he's saying right there. He's saying, don't give up gathering together as some people are beginning to do. But instead, gather together in the community of faith, the family of God, in the house of God, and encourage one another. Come on, I've told it before, but it reminded me of a good joke. It makes me laugh. If you've heard it before, just laugh and just kind of humor me a little bit. But it reminds me of the story of a man who was found on a deserted island, and it was just him on this deserted island, you know, and it had been many years that he had been there all by himself. Come on, not one other human with him. And they found him, and they began to discover that he had built these shelters and this thing. He'd kind of built a little neighborhood and a community on the beach on this remote, deserted island. And they said, what is that right there? And he said, well, that's the restaurant. That's where I go and I prepare my food, and that's where I go to eat. They said, what's that? And he said, that's my home. That's where I go to rest and recline and sleep. And they said, what's that? And he said, that's my place of worship, my church, where I go to worship my God. And they said, what's that building over there? And he said, that's the church I used to go to. It was just him, and somehow he had found something he didn't like about that church. I don't know what it was, the preaching, the worship, the volume, the carpet. I don't know what it was, but something about it he didn't like, and so he went to another one. Listen, I'm just telling you, God's heart, God's intention is for us to be together, encouraging one another as a spiritual family. But you begin to get discouraged and disappointed, and a lot of times the enemy is up to something. It's beyond what you just feel, the emotions of it. He's trying to divide you and unappoint you from a strategic place of relationship and encouragement. Come on, can I just tell you? I said this one time before, and a couple folks have just come and said, man, we think the best thing you've ever said is read your Bible and go to church. And I said, well, that's pretty simple, but that pretty much does sum it up. And if people would do all that and all the things we preach and encourage you to do as God's people, if you will read the Bible and go to church, God's promises and God's people. Don't let disappointment or discouragement divide you or disappoint you from it. You cannot afford to let discouragement separate you or isolate you. Number 3, God's purposes. You also cannot afford to let discouragement sideline you from serving God and God's people. You got to stay hooked with whatever it is that God's put in your hand. Come on, that's the scheme of the enemy. What starts as discouragement or disappointment, and you begin to shrink back or hold back from connecting to something that God's put in your heart to do, something that he's called you to. And we begin to feel it just like compounds. But how many know, like, next week when we go out on that Thanksgiving outreach next Sunday, and can I encourage you, can I plead with you as your pastor, like, if at all possible, come and go with us to go and to deliver those meals and hand them out. Because what you'll find, what you'll see is that as we go and we're giving something away, what we receive is in a far greater way than what we could ever give away. You can't outgive God. And come on, it's not why we're going. We're going just to be a reflection of the love of Jesus to this community and bring a little bit of hope to someone and tell them that we're there in the name of the Lord Jesus because he loves them. But I'm just telling you what I see over and over and over again as people come back from the mission field or a local outreach or whatever it is, and they come back better than they were when they left. Somehow they went and they poured out their life. But they came back filled up with the love of God and the purpose of God. Come on, you can't allow disappointment or discouragement to cause you to be isolated from the purpose and plan of God for your life. You got to stay hooked and stay connected. Come on and dream big and start small. Maybe there's something God's called you to and it's big, but maybe the start small for you is to just come over to that discovery luncheon today and figure out how you can connect to the family of God and just begin to come and hold the door open for the precious ladies in our church. Maybe it's to come and to make coffee and serve donuts. I don't know what it is, but find a way to get connected to the purpose of God for your life. You begin to put your hand to something instead of holding back and shrinking back and staying home. And you'll begin to discover life. Come on, we reap what we sow, and it's not just about money, people of God. When we need encouragement, and come on, it's good to encourage one another. We've already established that, and you need people. We need people speaking encouragement in our life. But sometimes in the middle, until that comes to us, what we need to do is just say, I'm going to start to sow what I need to reap. I'm going to find a way to be what I'm asking someone else and needing someone else to be in my life. I need healing, but I'm going to just begin to go to the hospital and just pray for some other sick people. I'm going to start to sow what I'm expecting to reap in my life. I need friendship, and I'm just going to begin to say, God, would you show me, help me, shape me, fashion me to be the best friend that I've ever been. And trust that as I sow into other people's lives, what I desperately need, that you'll see it from heaven and it'll be pleasing to you, and that you'll come and you'll bring something 30, 60, 90, 100-fold into my life that I desperately need. Don't get disconnected from the purpose of God for your life. Let us help you. Let us encourage you. Let us help you find a place. Let us speak over something that's maybe grown. There's been so much disappointment, so much discouragement. It just seems lifeless. Come on, come and let us begin to prophesy and speak life and speak blessing and speak the word of God over your life. Come on, you were created on purpose for a purpose. God does not make accidents and he does not make junk. There's a purpose and there's a plan for your life. Worship team, would you come and would you prepare to lead us in worship and responding to God today? And the last one, it's really the first one, but I saved the best for last. God's presence. God's presence. God's presence. In Psalm 139, verse 7 says it this way, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Come on, how many know God is omnipresent? He's everywhere. You can't get away from his spirit. But there's something that happens when we, by faith, with intentionality, make a decision and a determination in our life to position ourselves in the presence of God, to position ourselves in prayer every day and all throughout our day, to position ourselves in the posture of worship. Come on, this house, Rev City Church, it's always been and it will always be, as long as I have something to say about it, a worshiping church. Come on, if there's anything we're going to do, we're going to gather together and we're going to worship the Lord with all of our mind, heart, soul, and strength. God's presence. David said it this way in Psalm 16, verse 8. And you know what I love about the Psalms is that if you read it, they're written from a place of adversity, disappointment, discouragement. I mean, all throughout it, you know, God's not afraid of that season in your life. He just wants you to come and just present it before him. He's not afraid of it. Come on, faith. He sent Jesus for people that needed a Savior. And he's not afraid of a disappointing or discouraging or season that is filled with doubt. He just wants the pathway to the victory is just not allow the enemy to cause you to draw back or shrink back from his presence. But how do you know it's what we do? It's what we do. We have a bad day. We blow it. We do something we thought we were set free from, and it comes back into our life. Come on, that thing that our spirit doesn't want to do, but our flesh is just weak, you know. We do that thing. And you remember, it started right from the beginning. You remember what Adam and Eve did? They blew it, you know. Come on, Wells, don't blame them. If it wasn't them, it would have been us. And they blew it, and remember, they hid themselves in shame. They fled from the presence of God. Thankfully, we serve a God who wouldn't let it remain as such. And he came and he began to cry out to Adam and to Eve. And he said, Adam, where are you? How many know when God asks a question, he already knows the answer? He asks it for our benefit. And so today, I think some of us, because of guilt, shame, discouragement, disappointment, you need to hear and you need to know that the heart of God is that you would still come into his presence. He's calling out to you this morning. He's calling out to you this morning. He's saying, whatever your name is, where are you? Why have you allowed that thing? Why have you allowed that sin? Why have you allowed that shame? Why have you allowed that disappointment? Why have you allowed that discouragement? Why have you allowed that doubt to cause you to shrink back from my presence? I'm not afraid of it. I want to cover it and heal it and set you free from it and restore you from it and strengthen you so that you can once again begin to discover and pursue and fulfill my purpose for your life. God's presence changes us. And this is a powerful scripture, Ezekiel 46, verse 9. And then we're going to begin to worship. Then we're going to stand and we're going to respond to the presence of God. We're going to commit ourselves to the promises of God. We're going to commit ourselves to the people of God. We're going to rededicate ourselves to chase after and begin to engage with the purpose of God for our life as we close this service and worship. Ezekiel 46, 9, come on, God's presence changes us. And remember, I'm talking to you about four things that the enemy tries to bring discouragement and disappointment to separate you from. But they are the four things that if you'll focus on these things, if you'll prioritize these things, they will help you begin to break out of the season of disappointment and discouragement. Ezekiel 46, 9, God's presence changes us, people of God. We do not do what we do here just because it's some good songs that we're about singing. God's presence changes us. Ezekiel 46, 9 says, when the people of the land come before the Lord at the appointed festivals. Come on, that's what Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at Rev City Church is in Lawrence, Kansas. It's an appointed time for the family of God, the people of God, to come together in the presence of God and worship him and give him the glory that's due his name. And it says, when the people of the land come together at those times, watch this, catch this. Whoever enters by the north gate to worship is to go out by the south gate. And whoever enters by the south gate is to go out the north gate. No one is to return through the gate by which they entered. But each is to go out the opposite gate. Here's what God's saying. It doesn't matter how you come in. We're all coming in from different places, the north, the south, all coming in from different seasons, discouragement, hope. We're all coming in from a different place. But what he's saying is, when you come together as my people in my presence, you might come in one way. And I don't know what that way is, but here's the thing that I do know. You're going to go out different. You're going to go out a different way. You're going to come in looking one way, and you're going to go out looking another way. You're going to come in feeling one way. You're going to go out feeling a different way. Come on, people of God, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. You're going to come in discouraged, and you're going to leave encouraged in the Lord. You're going to come in disappointed, but you're going to leave reappointed to the thing that God's called you to in your marriage, in your family, in your health, in your ministry, the purpose that God has for you. Come on, I just wonder if there's some people that will rededicate themselves to chase after and pursue God's presence. I wonder if there's a people of God this morning who will rededicate themselves. Come on, it's about priority. To chase after God's promises every day. I wonder if there's a people who will begin to prioritize the church family and the body of Christ and the people of God that God's called us to. And I wonder if there's someone who will rededicate themselves to the purpose of God this morning. Lord, we thank you today
that you're going to do something radical in our lives. You're going to change us, God. The thing that we came in, we're going to leave it here, and we're going to go out differently in the mighty name of Jesus. And come on, before we praise, I just feel the unction to do it right here and right now, to strike while the spiritual iron is hot, so to speak. If you're here this morning, before we enter into praise and worship, if you're here this morning, the most important thing we do is give you an opportunity to respond to the free gift of salvation that is in Jesus Christ. You're here today and you're a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter. Maybe you once served God, you once knew God, but you've drifted from him and you've tried to live it out your own way. Or this morning, you're just far from God. And you recognize that you have a need for a Savior, and you recognize that you need a relationship with your Heavenly Father to be restored. Come on, if that's you this morning, before we enter back into worship, all I want you to do is just lift your hand high to the sky. Lift your hand high towards the heavens and just say, that's me, that's me, that's me, that's me. Come on, one more moment, just lift your hand. Thank you, Lord, for what these hands represent, hearts turning and changing back to you as our Heavenly Father. And come on, at Rev City Church, we're a spiritual family. And so we pray this together. We pray this with you. And it reminds us of who we once were, but who we are now because of Jesus. And so, come on, people of God, can we pray this with a loud voice this morning? Father, in Jesus' name, I recognize my need for a Savior. And I thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price I could not pay, to make a way that I might have a fresh start and a new life. I give you that life. I give you my trust, and I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. Come on, say it one more time. I'll never be the same. Come on, church family, can we put our hands together for those precious people that made that commitment this morning? Come on, team, lead us.